They control politicians. You cannot get elected in the United States without a lot of money, most of which one way or another comes through the corporations or their stockholders. You know, we've recently seen with our new president, or he's not that new anymore, guy who originally started off by saying he wasn't going to take any corporate funds and ended up taking a lot of corporate funds. And now his financial policy, his economic policy, is the shots are all called by people from Wall Street, mainly Goldman Sachs. And his agricultural policies are all called by people from mainly Monsanto and other big agribusinesses, because he took the money. And even if he hadn't, Ron Paul says he would never take the money. Of course, Obama said it too. But let's assume that somebody got in the White House who didn't take corporate money. He's going to be surrounded by a Congress that does take corporate money. He's going to constantly be impacted by the 35,000 lobbyists in Washington, D.C. alone, most of whom work for corporations. It's extremely difficult for us to ever conceive of a way that we're going to have a president in this country that isn't beholden to corporations at this point in history. And I hate to say this, but I suspect if one came along that really stood up to them, as Franklin Roosevelt did at one time and Teddy Roosevelt at another time, that president would not remain in office very long. And then he wouldn't be thrown out in the next election. It wouldn't wait till the next election. Kennedy was assassinated. We've had a lot of people that were assassinated physically, Martin Luther King Jr. But we also today have another form of assassination, which Bill Clinton went through, and that's character assassination, which is extremely easy to have happen on someone. It doesn't have to be true. But once somebody's tainted, they're out. And I think any president recognizes that they're in a very vulnerable position. The corporations control this. They control the media, the mainstream media. They either own it outright or they control it through advertising budgets. You know, back in 1980, I remember lamenting the fact that 50 corporations control the press, the world press. Today, it's 6. It's a great radio station, incidentally. I really like KBOO. If you've never been to their studios, visit them someday. You're in for a treat. So where was I? We were talking about sex, right? Yeah. So now we've got 6 corporations that control the mainstream press around the world. And I talk about that quite a little bit in Hoodwinked. So these corporations are calling the shots. And they are the current emperor, the corporatocracy. But I think that's good news, in a way, because these corporations didn't get there by military might. There's nobody forcing you to buy from any of these corporations. Nobody forcing you to buy. And these corporations are completely dependent on you to buy their goods and services, or for your tax dollars too. So you have a lot of power over these corporations. We all have a lot of power over these corporations. They're very strongly influenced by us. And we've seen in history, recent history, how much power we have. I remember, a few of you out there do, a lot of you don't, how did we get rid of apartheid in South Africa? We boycotted corporations that supported apartheid. And then we went ahead and got rid of aerosol cans that were destroying the ozone layer. We forced corporations to do that. When I went to business school in Boston, you couldn't walk beside the Charles River. It was so terribly polluted. And rivers in Ohio were on fire with pollution. We forced the corporations to clean them up. We forced them to open their doors wider to women and to minorities. We forced them recently to get trans fats out of their foods and steroids and antibiotics out of chickens that they're selling us. We have a tremendous power over these corporations. And let us not forget that most of these corporations are managed by people like us, people with children, grandchildren, people who do not want to see Florida sink beneath the ocean. they're good people for the most part. And I know there are some sociopaths running some of these corporations. I think there's one living not too far from here who makes tennis shoes for us. But he has a lot of good people under him, and he's not going to live forever. For the most part, our corporations are run by decent human beings. But you know, we've sent them a very strong message. We've sent this guy down the street the message that we want good t-shirts and tennis shoes cheap, although his aren't usually cheap. But we've sent out this message, we want these things, and if they're made in sweatshops by slaves in Indonesia, we'll just look the other way. And we've sent the message out that we want cheap petroleum for our automobiles, and if that means destroying the rainforests of South America, we'll just look the other way. We've sent this message out to these people. We must turn that around. You and I must do this. We have the power to do it. So, you know, in the past, we asked to clean up the rivers, we asked to get trans fats out of foods. Now we've got to ratchet it up a notch. Let's change that definition. Let's change the goal of corporations. No more of this Milton Friedman. The sole responsibility of business is to maximize profits. Let's turn that around and say the goal of business can include making profits, but only while creating a sustainable, just, and peaceful world. And let's not buy from any corporation that isn't committed to doing that. Okay? Last night I was speaking at Oregon State University in Corvallis, and I don't know, we had a room of, 600 people or so. Tonight we're here, and I move on, I keep doing this, and this, you know, over the next 3 or 4 months, I'm probably going to talk to 10,000 people, I don't know. And it strikes me, if everyone, or if half the people I talk to in the next 3 months, if half the people in this room join, half the people from last night, and you all send an email to the guy down the street and say, I'm not buying anymore from you. I applaud what you're doing to create a better environment. In fact, he's done some things in that regard. But I'm not buying anymore from you because you have slaves in your sweatshops in Indonesia. If a critical mass of us, and it doesn't take a lot, does this, Nike's going to have to change its policies or go out of business. And it's effective. It works. Dare I mention, who doesn't these days when you're standing up in front of an audience, who doesn't mention Tiger Woods? But I've often been struck by how interesting it is that here's a guy that for years has accepted hundreds of millions of dollars from companies like Nike that are using slave labor, and he's never spoken out against it. And nobody's spoken out against him for doing that, I don't think. It's been accepted. Okay, Tiger, you know, you shoot a good golf ball and you look cute on television, so we'll pay you millions of dollars that's basically being taken out of the hands of people that are killing themselves, literally, to make the tennis shoes and shirts and jackets that you're selling. But now the guy does something with women that I don't think is any of your business or mine. It's his wife's business and his business, but what's it got to do with the world? And we go after him. I want to go after Tiger Woods because he isn't doing something about the sweatshops in Indonesia. What if Tiger Woods had made a statement before all this happened? It wouldn't do any good now, but before this happened, what if he'd made a statement, I'm shifting from Nike to Reebok. And I, instead of being paid $40 million by Nike, or what I'm just drawing, I don't know how much he gets paid, but a lot. Instead of that, I'm going to take a quarter of it, $10 million. Reebok's going to pay me $10 million, and I'm going to ask every top executive in Reebok to cut their salary by a third, and all that money is going to go to the workers in Indonesia. Now, if he'd said that, it would have changed the world. One guy, he could have changed the world. Because once he says that, Reebok, Nike, Adidas, all the other ones will have to go along with it. The word would be out. Think about that. But do we criticize him for not saying that? No. We criticize him because of sex. What's that got to do with slavery in Indonesia? So here we are at this time in history, an incredibly important time in history, a time like no other that's ever, ever occurred. We're at a time in history today that is totally unheard of before, because for the first time, every human being on this planet, in fact, every life form on this planet, is being impacted by the same crises. Never happened before. We used to have earthquakes in Haiti, still do, hurricanes in Florida, tsunamis in Indonesia. They were pretty localized events. They didn't really impact the rest of us too much. But today, every life form on this planet is being impacted by the crises that are coming out of climate change, out of resources that are declining at accelerating rates, and prices for food, fuel, and other essentials that are accelerating at accelerating rates, by violence that stems from desperation and starvation around the world, by overpopulation, by species extinction. We're all in this together. And for the first time in history, and this has only been in the last couple of years, we are all communicating with each other.